for your statement to cover whatever issues you would like to cover. Then we'll take questions, and the whole thing's supposed to last 20 to 25 minutes. So with that, I think you know everyone on the council. We'll turn it over to you.
There we go. Okay. Thank you very much. And yes, I do know everyone. I've met at least everyone and had conversations, I think. Actually, I've had conversations with all of you. I don't want to make this terribly long and rehash what I wrote in the application. As far as why I'd like to serve, it's for the same reason I'm sure all of you want to serve, that you love this community, this is your city, and you feel you can make a difference. To that end, that's why I ran 2 years ago. That's why I sought to be appointed to the Traffic Commission. Most recently I was appointed elected, I suppose, secretary of the Traffic Commission for a long time. That job was performed by staff, and I know you talked about that a little bit earlier, but one of the issues that I thought was particularly troubling with the Traffic Commission, as an aside, was that commission has a very important role. We're dealing with code and ordinances, and by taking away the audio or the staff not doing the audio when staff was doing the minutes, it really took away the record of what the commission was deliberating. And Mr. Smotherson's our new liaison, but we certainly go through a lot of very important subjects, and we deliberate at great length, and we have a diverse group that works very well together. So by taking that away, it sort of took away the record, and our recommendations and our minutes come to you, and without a recording of that presented a problem. So I actually wanted to and led the initiative to amend our bylaws. I had wanted to amend the bylaws to include that a commissioner recorded the meetings. I was not successful on that, but I was able to become the secretary, and we held an election. And so I've been audio recording the meetings, which is absolutely essential to producing good minutes and good records. Obviously, it's what happens here in the council chambers. So what I wanted to sort of talk about in the bulk of this is kind of what I've observed and what I believe a council member should be. I am 38. Before U City, before coming to a council meeting, before really 2009, I didn't know any of you. The very first interaction I had with University City was back in 2009, when I was living in the second ward, and I received a summons out of the blue for code violations. And it was for a property, actually, that had been sold, and it was a clerical error, and no one had closed out the permits. And out of the blue, I get a summons to appear in court, and it was kind of shocking. And so at the time, I reached out to both my council members, which at the time were Ms. Ricci and Mr. Glickert. Mr. Glickert was immediately responsive. He, as I recall, contacted Mr. Mulligan and probably some other people, and within literally hours, I think it was resolved, and the mistake was corrected, and the responsiveness was terrific. Later, had another issue on our street with parking and traffic, and that's what led me to the Traffic Commission as a citizen. We petitioned our block. We got residential parking put in, and Mr. Glickert was profoundly helpful in that process. So being responsive as a council member is just, I think, of the utmost importance. I think second, and tied to that, is being a listener. I have always been taught to, and I realize as I'm sitting here speaking for 5 minutes, to be prepared to listen more than I'm prepared to speak. I think in a role of council member, I think that's incredibly important, both in dealing with citizens, but also in dealing with your colleagues. And that brings me to, I think as a council member, you really have to be willing to learn and collaborate with one another. There is no one, whether it be a citizen or a member of a council, that you can't learn from. And I think that what I'd like to see more of, and what unfortunately I think we have been seeing more of more recently, is that willingness to listen. And it's my really sincere hope that we continue down that path. And I think also we have to seek to build consensus. If we focus on where we disagree, we will disagree. If we focus on where we can agree, we will find where we can agree and find compromise. I think I might end up answering Ms. Carr's question here. I think it's incredibly important that a council member really represent their constituents. I think we all saw that very recently with the social house issue. People spoke, and all of you listened. And I would add that I think it's also important to listen when you may personally disagree with what your constituents are saying. And finally, I think a councilperson has to approach the office with a great deal of humility, and I think most importantly, a willingness to admit or recognize your own mistakes. And I wanted to give an example of that happened just last night at the Traffic Commission. We had a situation on one of our streets where someone had requested, and it's a multifamily street, a group of condominiums had requested to restrict parking. And the commission ultimately agreed to do that. And we learned last night, and I think we're not done learning about it, that had a really domino effect on the surrounding neighbors. And it became real clear to me as I reviewed the citizens' concern that I think we made a mistake on that one. I think we gave consideration, greater consideration to one group than another. I don't think that was our intent, but I think as a commission, as we move forward, we're going to have to address this because there are some people who are really, truly inconvenienced. That wasn't our intent, but we really have to address those things that when we do make mistakes, it's better to get it right than to be right yourself personally. So that's all my comments, and I'm sure you have questions.
Okay, Mr. Smotherson.
Mr. Hill, thank you for being here, and thank you for applying. I just have one simple question, and that is, if you can tell me your relationship with the First Ward. Tell me the positives, tell me the needs, tell me what you think about the First Ward. And the reason I say that is because I think one thing that I'm not hearing from candidates, and that's why I'm asking this same question, and that is, how well do you know your ward? Because I think that's very important, just like the time that I've been living years in the Third Ward, so I know the Third Ward well. I know where the bones are buried. So my point is, how well do you know the First Ward?
Well, thank you. I think that I've come to know the First Ward quite well. I ran, obviously, 2 years ago and just fell short. I'm sure you can appreciate that. But in the time since, as I know you all know, I've been very involved, and we haven't agreed on necessarily the policy, but I think that the way the last 2 years have gone in the First Ward, and when the voters have been given the opportunity to weigh in on policy, I think I've been on the same side. And I think that that stems from, as Wofsy commented on a number of things, but I think that stems from a ward that is really seeking public engagement. I think it's true across all three wards, but I definitely think that's true in the first ward. And I would just say I think the best way to build trust is through transparency and engagement. So I hope that covers it.
Any other members with questions? Ms. Carr?
Thank you, Mr. Hales. I appreciate you applying. So so in terms of the Traffic Commission and the recording, and I, you did answer my question regarding representative government. So so in terms of recording, do you feel that, since you said it was important that the recording be made, do you feel that, that the commission was harmed by removing the recording?
I don't know that I would say that it was harmed. I don't think that it served the commission well, and I don't think that it served any of us well. There was a time where I know the council was receiving minutes that were essentially just the votes that were being taken. We consider as a commission a whole lot of different issues dealing from, you know, speed limits to stop signs and traffic. And so if we are tasked with making a recommendation to council as a commission, I think it's imperative that you be able to have an understanding of what it was we deliberated and how we reached the decision. Because if you only have what the vote was, that doesn't tell you really anything other than what the vote was. So I think how somebody comes to a decision, or how a commission comes to a decision, especially in the case of the Traffic Commission, which has its hands on so much of our city code, dealing with all of our traffic ordinances, is really essential. And I hope that that we continue to produce minutes, and I hope that in the future staff will be allowed to produce the detailed minutes as were done in the past.
Okay, and my final question is, what do you view as the two or three most important issues that we are facing in the next 8 months?
Well, I think certainly the number one issue for this council and for the city is we have to, you all as a council and whoever you choose, and the city, we have to be on the same page on this police station. We have to be on the same page on a bond issue. I think there is no other responsible way to finance this. And I think we've seen what can happen when the council isn't on the same page. So I think above all priorities right now, without question, the police station, the bond issue, and what the path is going forward is of critical importance. And certainly there are a lot of people at this table who have been on different sides of bond issues. With this, that's not an option. And if we cannot find compromise, whether it be you as a council with whoever you choose, or if you can't choose anybody, if you all cannot come together on this, we have a problem, and we can't afford to have a problem on this issue.
Mr. Glicker?
Mr. Hales, I'm very impressed with how introspective you are. I've asked this of other candidates, and if you give me the, and I think you alluded to one of them right here, the police station, but you're, get the seat. What do you think are your top two, three priorities as Jeff Hales?
Number one, I've said, and I think that's number one by leaps and bounds. Number two is, and I guess I'll expand upon my comments at the last meeting. This council, I can't tell you how pleased I was in really the last two meetings, to see the level of dialogue, to see the level of engagement, to see the questions asked of each other. That dialogue has to continue, and I am a person that we can disagree on policy, we can argue till we're blue in the face. None of it's personal, and it's not personal to me. But in a disagreement on policy and in those arguments, it's really important that all of us at the table have the same goal of finding resolution. The city can't move forward without resolution. Honestly, I'm a person who believes if you're not willing to give any in terms of compromise, I don't know that this is a very good role for you. That would be number two. I think number three really is restoring trust, and I think that gets done through a council that works together, that gets the unanswered questions answered. Because it's just of critical importance. If this council continues to have the dialogue that we've been having in the last two meetings, the trust will come back, the faith will come back, and I think a lot of the animus will go away. In terms of individual policies, are you looking for anything else, Mr. Blicker?
You've answered my question.
Okay.
Mr. Jennings.
Thank you. Jeff, speaking of engagement, it was a time that you and I talked a lot, especially during the times of Props S&P. So today I want to commend you for being a kinder Jeff Hales. But I want to be honest with you. Some have felt that your comments, questions, had felt that they were mean, nasty, and that you've been intimidating with your camera. Now you want to work within this council. How would you alleviate my concerns and the concerns of others that your appointment wouldn't be continued meanness, nastiness, and intimidation to some, but not all members of council?
Well, it's kind of hard to respond to a question or allegation of meanness or nastiness, and particularly in relation to S&P, without any reference. I think we've all seen in this chamber a lot of passion at times. Mr. Jennings, I've had my differences with you over policy. We have had, obviously, heated conversations, but we also talked for 20 minutes in the parking lot of Quick Trip, and we talked about, very recently,
yeah.
And we talked about rehabbing, and we talked about contractors and referrals and stuff. I think that shows a policy disagreement. I don't know where I've ever really personally been mean. I'm not a person that believes in judging someone as a person. I think certainly people make bad decisions, and they're bad behaviors, and they're bad choices. I don't think that reflects on the person as a whole, and I don't believe there's a bad person in this room. But in terms of being able to work together, if I wasn't willing to talk to you, and you weren't willing to talk to me, we wouldn't have had that 20-minute conversation. And I thought that was the real me. I thought that was the real you. And I think that's how you move forward.
But let's go a little deeper then. If you have offended me or hurt my feelings, while I feel I've served and made good decisions, and we just simply disagreed, how would you make me or other people feel that we could work together? How could you make someone
You know, I guess I'd have to ask how I hurt your feelings.
Well, again, these are feelings. It may be valid, it may be not, but how could you make someone feel going forward that it's going to be collaboration?
Well, I think I would say where we have had our most heated disagreements have been over policy. We've never had a personal disagreement that I can recall outside of the issues of U-City and policy matters. So I guess there's a disconnect with me about having a disagreement over policy and how that can be somehow hurt your feelings. Now, certainly, if you were to tell me, you know, Jeff, you said this and that hurt my feelings, I certainly want to know. Prior to today, I haven't had such a conversation with you. So,
But if that was the case, and I told you, Jeff, you hurt my feelings, and we really were trying to stay on policy, and there were things that I thought was mean, how would you deal with that? How could you?
I'd want to know immediately, you know, what was it that I said? I think there's a lot of sort of parallels between families and councils. You know, the relationships. I know certainly, I'm sure some of us have siblings we like and some siblings we don't like and ones we get along with and not. I think the most important thing is to be able to have, you know, to be open to, and as I talked about, you know, making a mistake. If I were to ever say something to you or to anyone that was hurtful, especially personally hurtful, I would want to know, and I would want to resolve that. So I would say to you now and at all points in the future, if there were to be at the time, and if you can think of something, if you're thinking of something specifically right now, I would be more than, I'd like to know what it is, whether it be right now or later this evening.
No, I'm just thinking about this. Your application to council. This is my last question. You obviously were against Props S&P, and you vehemently campaigned against it, and you, in my opinion, helped to destroy it successfully. Yet our streets are still broken. Why did you not make a counteroffer or negotiate a better, more acceptable bond issue or scaled back bond issue?
Well, I would say with all due respect, the bond issue came forward and it was an all or nothing proposition. There was no, I learned about it when it was put on the agenda, as I think most of the folks in this room. It's kind of hard to be put in a position of asking for a counter proposal or to negotiate on something that was none of us as citizens were given the opportunity to do. That's a process I hope will never happen again. I think as you look at different bond issues from other cities and just bond issues that this city's done in the past, there's always been a pretty robust process of public engagement. That's where those things come out. I don't think there's a person in this room, frankly, that thinks that at some point we will have some type of bond issue for streets. The next time, I have a pretty distinct feeling it will be successful. And while I appreciate the, I guess, the influence you think I had over the result of that election, I can tell you that I was not the leader of that. I certainly was one of the leaders of that. But I would say I was maybe one of, I was one of many, and I certainly was involved. But I will tell you that I was listening to many of the people, and where that bond issue really came from and the issues on the other side, it didn't come from me. It came from the people in the audience. So I think if we approach this with a process that is inclusive and has public engagement, It will go there. I'd like to be on the other side of a bond issue, frankly. But it's got to be done in a way that includes the public.
Thank you.
Okay, we're at our 30 minutes. Most of my questions have been answered. Mr. Crow, you want to have the last word?
I just have a very quick one. You've talked about the police station as the number one, maybe number one, two, and three priorities. Let's just narrow it down. And we've already, the police station, I understand, is out in a category by itself. If you could give me the next two or three fiscal priorities that you would want to see, whether it be on the revenue side or it be on the expense side or whether it be on the investment side for the city, could you walk me through what you think the other issues are that need to be addressed in the short term?
I guess I would say I have a couple of concerns. The first is, and I would love to have an explanation at some point, but how exactly we got to a city that was flush with cash and surpluses to a city that prior to all of the changes and the temporary police station, I think the initial February 22nd budget revenues equaled expenditures. I would say as a citizen, to go in a matter of years from having $3 and $1.5 million surpluses to having a completely balanced budget and to have made the cuts to get down there, I guess I kind of am concerned where that surplus went. I don't think it's something that has really been communicated to the public. I don't know if you all know. I know certainly part of that was a series of COLA increases. But I think the concern over our revenues and our expenditures, I'd like to get take a much closer look at that. Trying to remember, what was the, was that a two-part question? Okay, but it was two issues. One of the things I think also that concerns me, especially for the First Ward, is fiscally, obviously is our revenue. Part of our revenue, obviously, is our property values. There has been, I've heard from my neighborhood lately, a great deal of concern about some of the infill that's going in and what that will do to the character of neighborhoods and property values. So that is very, very localized because I'm hearing quite a bit above it right in my immediate neighborhood. Overall, in terms of the budget, I have seen over the last 5 years really terrific budget processes, and I've seen some not so great budget processes. And I think one of the best that I saw was definitely in 2012, where I think the council met 9 times. I think it was every department head. I'm sure if you don't remember it, you wish you didn't remember it, because 9 meetings is a lot of meetings in a short period of time. But I do think that the budget process, I think it's very important for all members of council to have a strong understanding of our budget, to have all of their questions answered, but also to have those questions answered and to have that dialogue as a group. I think I would like to see that process really standardized. Whether it's it could be done through council rules, but I'd like to see a process that can be followed, that there will be 3, 4, 5 budget study sessions so that you all have, as a council, have an opportunity to really go through the budget and have a full understanding. And also, the disagreement, as we had a couple meetings ago, those amendments could have been sorted out in those study sessions. I mean, we crammed 4 or 5 study sessions into 1 4.5-hour meeting, and I don't think anybody particularly liked that, including the folks who sat through the whole thing. So that would be my concern as a process dealing with our how we handle budget issues. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Hales.
Thank you.